think it's weird that they did a remake of Civil War so soon?
I've been thinking about this. This has been provoking me in my thoughts for a while because...
And they changed so much of it. Like, where's Captain America? Where's Iron Man?
Where's Spider-Man?
It's ridiculous. Where's Spider-Man?
Mary Jane was in here, but not Spider-Man. It was weird.
It's really weird.
They did a solo spinoff.
Yeah.
Of just Mary Jane and called it Civil War.
And called it Civil War. It's just like a straight... I didn't think Mary Jane had that big of a part in Civil War.
Dig. Go get him, Tiger. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Everyone outside and in between.
Welcome
back to a very long conversation about movies and art and TV, whatever else we feel like talking about. I'm your producer, Sam Manigan.
And I'm Andrew Thomas. Sam Manigan, how are you doing?
Fucking hung over, dude. But I had a good week. Generally speaking, pretty decent. How are you doing, homie?
Great. I'm also a little hungover. Last night, because just the circumstances of life, I was able to take my mother to opening night of Cabaret.
Oh, that's cool.
And I went to the opening night party. I tapped Eddie Redmayne on the shoulder and said, congratulations. And it was an open bar the entire day.
Oh, jeez.
It was crazy. It was wild. I've had a very good week. Some of Kelly's childhood friends came this weekend. And that was a lot of fun. And then, yeah. It's been a great week. Great week for the homie.
Great.
You know who, talking about people who don't have a good week with their homies, Civil War, Alex Garland, 2024's smash hit, A24's smash biggest hit. Opening weekend of all time, Civil War.
Yeah.
We watched it, we saw it. Sam, what'd you think?
It's pretty. It's really pretty. It's a very pretty, pretty movie. Alex Garland knows how to make movies look pretty with his cinematographer. Performances, great. Oh my God. Some phenomenal performance. Stephen McKinley Henderson, you kidding me, bro? Great. Movie's not very good. It's not a very good movie. Kind of. It's complicated. But I don't think Alex Garland has like a take.
Oof.
I don't know if he has like a worldview. I think this movie politically is saying nothing. And it's, I think, both very difficult and also inherently immoral to make a movie like this and not say anything politically. It's kind of impressive that he didn't say anything about politics in this
really
film. I have kind of impressive that he like just doesn't have a take on it and is just like, yeah, I don't know, what if this happened. Ugh. And yeah, I don't know, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
What about you? What are your thoughts?
I love this so far. It's my favorite movie of the year, Civil War. And I know last week I said this, you were like, over Dune 2? You talking over Dune 2? You know what Civil War has that Dune Part 2 doesn't and will never have? What's my man's name?
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Stephen McKinley Henderson. What's better than that? What's better than that? It's very few things.
Okay.
Quick, we do this. This is the show. Welcome back. It's crazy. How do you feel about Denis Villeneuve saying he will never do an extended cut? It is what is there opening day.
Honestly,
is out. Everything else is dead.
Honestly, fucking based opinion, dude.
Based.
I fucking, that's so good. I kind of hate when a director makes a movie, releases it. Granted, we've talked about this. I think there are extenuating circumstances if a studio takes over the project and
all that changes it, is different.
Changes it, and then the director gets to release their version of it. I think that is different, and that is okay. But if a director has control over the edit, like Danny does, and makes the movie that he wants to make, and then releases that, I think absolutely don't show me anything else. I don't need to know anything else. You showed me what you wanted to show me. If you needed me to see the other stuff, you would have shown me that stuff in the movie, but you didn't.
I like bonus features. I like bonus features.
The DVD is dead. I don't know what to tell you.
I like.
Give me a making of. Give me a making of. I think that shit is bold. I think that shit is.
You think that's whack?
It's whack, dude.
I just love that he said, because he made that point. He was like, butt cutting Steven was the hardest thing I've done in my professional career.
Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely the
hardest of any movie, of anything, watching it and just going, but we can't have a 3 hour and 10 minutes. That 10 minutes is going to make everything feel too long.
So it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. I get it. But yeah, I think Denny is right. I think
just one more notch and Denny's a goat.
Yeah.
And Ridley Scott's not.
Absolutely.
You're crazy takes. Absolutely. I agree with Denny. It's just the Ridley thing. I don't like the Dune movies, but I agree with Denny. He's got the sauce.
He's got the sauce, dude.
Unquestionably has the and sauce.
Ridley has the sauce. He just almost never uses it anymore.
The Martian came out 10 years ago.
He's just hoarding it, like in his like Napoleon was garbage. Like I don't know if you can watch Napoleon and Prometheus and be like, "Oh yeah, the goat."
Yeah, but I can watch Prometheus and say the goat. I can watch Prometheus by itself, and I can watch Prometheus and Alien Covenant and go, definitely the guy is the GOAT.
Crazy. Last Duel was good.
Apparently, Gladiator 2 is good. Denzel doesn't really, rarely makes a bad movie. He has made a bad movie, but...
He has made bad movies.
Rarely does he make any.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, Alex Garland, Civil War. I really enjoyed it. I think something that I'll just say right now, and is very important for my viewing experience. I'm very sorry, Alex Garland, but I did indeed walk in late. I came in late. I misjudged the trailer runtime. I missed all of Nick Offerman stuff. I walk in, and it's Kirsten Dunst, spoiler alerts, right now, taking photos at that gathering and the explosion
thing? Yeah.
Happens.
Okay.
I walk in at the beginning of that scene.
I'm going to tell you, do you want to know what you missed?
The trailer? Nick Offerman just doing the trailer?
You missed Nick Offerman coming out and it's all blurry while he practices the speech that he makes.
Yes.
And then it's interstitched with archival footage of actual protests and police brutality. That fun fact was filmed and provided to them by Nazis that
how are thanked you, in the credits. What are your sources? Yeah. And tell me the full story.
A couple people who are thanked in the credits are, like, if you just look at the credits of this of the movie, are far right wing extremists who filmed at like different protests and stuff. That happened in the past like 10 years or so.
Ooh.
I think as far as it goes back. I can't quite remember. And yeah, two of them are like out and out far right wing extremists, like, and they are thanked in the credits, and that's where some of that archival footage is from.
Dang.
Which also I think contributes to the fact that I don't think Alex Garland is really saying anything with this fucking movie.
Well, honestly, it brings me to my point of what I think this movie's all about. I just got a nice little journalism movie. It's just a movie about journalism ethics and being a journalist and what it entails.
Sure.
That is, to me, just all this movie is. It has more in common with All the President's Men than Nighthawk Down.
But do you not think that, and this might sound rude. I'm not trying to be rude.
No, please.
Do you not think that in the wake of January 6th, that this is not an inherently extremely political, like, thing to do? Like, to see America specifically, like,
I think,
deal with this insurrection and then to make a movie on it of, like, what if that was, like, a bigger thing and it actually turned into a modern civil war? It's like he's trying to be effective by showing us this war-torn imagery of North America as if, like, he's trying to be like, what if all the images that you see online were, like, outside of JCPenney? It's like, okay, man, what the fuck is happening, dude?
Like, I get that point.
What's your fucking take?
I don't think the movie's perfect. That moment where they're driving through the fire is kind of hokey and cheesy.
Oh my god, I hated that scene. I was like, why the fuck? What's happening right now?
What's this song choice? What's this? Which I know, no matter, and maybe you don't because of the political aspects, but it's like what we were talking about with, like, Roadhouse. I'd rather, and much like Men, his last movie, Men, I hate it, but I'd rather something like this than a Roadhouse.
I would rather something like this than a Roadhouse any fucking day of the week.
At least it got you thinking.
Yeah, but I think the lack of a political stance in a movie, like, in a world after January 6th and with the rise of, like, secessionists in America, I think it's insane to make this movie and not have a take on it and not have a, like, thing about it. You can make a movie about war journalists fucking anywhere.
Because it is a
gimmick. But he chose to make it an American Civil War.
I know we can talk about this for the next hour, so I'm going to put a pin in this. You want to hop into the cast?
Yes. Can we just talk about, like, the four people?
Yeah, please.
Okay, we got our main man, Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Stephen McKinley Henderson. Like, it's great. I love character actors, but, like, there are sometimes you hit a character actor that you see them on screen and you're like, oh, madness! I remember when he was in Lady Bird and you're like, hey!
Yeah.
My main man!
This dude is the best. Love this guy.
And he's great in this. He plays this role very well.
Yeah.
Everything in my body is telling me this is death.
This is death! The way it's so he good, dude. That line. It's so good. Stephen McKinley Henderson's the best. Love this guy.
His Oscars are around the corner.
Yeah, I don't like this movie. He should get a nom at least for this. Yeah. He's great. He's so good. Then we got the dude Wagner Mora.
Very
Joel.
Very good. I really liked him. What else is he in?
He was just in a couple episodes of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the Amazon show. He's really good in that, too, so I was excited to see him show up in this. He is the voice of the wolf in Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. He's in The Gray Man. He's in Narcos.
Ooh, okay.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. This is like, he's finally, I think he's starting to get bigger and bigger roles. He's been doing a lot of stuff. He's been working for a long time. I'm not saying that he hasn't done big roles in the past.
Yes.
But with stuff like this and Puss in Boots and Mr. and Mrs. Smith and The Gray Man and stuff, like,
he's kind of breaking in. He's leveling up.
Yeah, he's stepping up into a new kind of echelon of, like, we're going to, I hope we keep seeing this guy in cool stuff like
I really liked him. And yeah, no, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. He's got just the right amount of, like, charm and sleaze to him.
Yes!
That it's just like, oh yeah, this just, like, I love whatever this is. This is great.
Because halfway through the movie, you're just like, oh, he's just a dude. He's just, he's not all moral, righteous. He's not the biggest scumbag on earth. He's just a guy.
No, he's just a pretty decently written character. And he does a good job at it.
Yeah.
Then we got Kaylee Spaney. I don't know. Spaney is sorry.
The way I've heard it.
Okay, Spaney. I would assume Spaney. We've seen her in a bunch of stuff. We've actually talked about her a bunch.
Have we? Because yeah. I didn't see Priscilla, and I wanted to, but...
No, but she's in Bad Times of the El Royale. She's in... We didn't talk about Pacific Rim Uprising, but she's in Pacific Rim Uprising. She's in Vice. And then obviously, most recently, Priscilla and this. And she's fucking great in Priscilla. And she was also really, really good in this. I really liked it.
You liked her. You liked her performance.
I did
everything.
Yeah, yeah. She's about to be in Alien Romulus.
Oh, cool!
Produced. Yeah, by so she's also
a goat. A goat.
she's also coming up. She's also doing more and more stuff. And she's like our age. She's like 2 years younger than us.
Really? Dang.
Yeah. So she's. Just at the beginning of I think, a hopefully really great, interesting career.
Hopefully another character.
Because I know you haven't seen Priscilla, but she's fucking great. Really good in Priscilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that movie's not perfect, but she's phenomenal. She's really, really good. So, shout outs Kaylee Spaney. Did you like her? You thought it was good?
I did like her performance. It was funny. At one point, they were like, yeah, blah, 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 and she's 23. And I was like, she's 23? I thought
she was...
Yeah,
she does not look like she's... Yeah, she's like 25.
I was like, get this kid out of here. There's explosion and gunshots.
Yeah.
23. At one point, it was... That's what made their relationship, her and Kirsten Dunst. Mm-hmm. Is that... At first, you're like, oh, this is going to be like a mother-daughter. No, she's 23. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
And it's this... Yeah. Yeah, I like this movie. I like... but I thought she was really good. I thought her relationship with Kirsten Dunst felt very natural. They had really good chemistry.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, 100%. Kirsten Dunst, fucking... Dude, she's so good.
She's incredible.
She's so good in this movie.
There
was like a couple. There was a couple moments where I didn't love the performance, but overall, I thought like this was just great.
How it served the story, her purpose in the story.
I find performances that end up in that like I'm just like an empty shell sort of mode kind of can get stale.
It can after get a while. Very stale, yeah.
But I still, I think Kirsten Dunst is phenomenal in this film. She's so good.
And one last person, talking about Oscar nominations, someone who might actually get an Oscar for their performance, Jesse Plemons. Talk about a scene stealer. Talk about...
Oh my God, dude. He's so good.
He has such a presence.
He needs to be in so many more movies.
I would
like. I know he's in a lot of movies.
Her
oh my god! Dance. Yeah, yeah.
He's the lead. So she good. Has a cameo. They're both leads. They both are in cameo. I want to see them forever. On
yeah, they're so good. I love Jesse Plemons. He's like swiftly rising to the top of my list of like favorite character actors.
This red sunglasses are so whoever. Pick that.
Great choice.
It was a great choice. And he's so creepy. And he's so despicable. Ugh. I love a good performance.
Oh. Yeah, Jesse Plemons. Fucking so good. And he was great in Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, he's up there. He's doing a lot of great stuff.
Let's sit down here. What for? For the murders.
So good. So good, dude.
See who's doing
it. Oh, right. He's in Kinds of Kindness. I forgot he's in Kinds of Kindness. Holy shit. Oh, I'm stoked for that movie.
Summer release, which is weird to me. Especially how it tells me it's really gonna. He's going back on a killing of a sacred deer.
Yeah, he's I think he's going back to that. Yeah, I think he's going back to his like really weird shit.
Yeah.
But I'm stoked. Stoked. Yeah, Jesse Plemons, great. That scene is fantastic.
Alex Garland.
What Kind of American is so good.
It is good.
Sorry, you go.
Alex Garland.
We chef.
Four films.
And he's done.
And he's done. If you want to listen to him, he's done. I think of the film people that I know, everyone has an Alex Garland movie they love, and everyone has an Alex Garland movie they hate. There's always, yeah, I really love Ex Machina, but boy, I hated Annihilation. everyone has their one. I met someone recently who was like, yeah, I loved Men. I thought Men was really smart. It looked great. Blah, 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 blah. But I hated Ex Machina. Thought it was boring.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
That's so talk about a filmmaker.
Talk about a filmmaker. Yeah, this dude, we just talked about him a bit last week. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, for me at least, he's just gotten less and less interesting with each movie.
Mm. So like, you Ex think Machina, it's a
I think it's a down. Down. I think it's a down. Yeah, I think Ex Machina is great. We just talked about it. And then Annihilation, I'll put it second place. I don't love Annihilation, but there's a lot of great ideas in there. I think a lot of that stuff is very interesting. I just don't. I don't end up loving it. And then Men, I think, is not very good. And then Civil War is even worse. So dang. I'm just like, oh, you just... I don't know. I feel like...
Do you think I feel like Ex Machina
kind of got to his head.
Please finish.
I think Ex Machina kind of got to his head. Like, everyone was like, oh, Alex Garland, this great filmmaker, you know, doing all this cool stuff, talking about interesting things. And then he was just like... I'm going to talk about interesting things. And then just like kind of, it feels like he's trying to do like a gotcha sort of thing. Like, just like, what if this was, what if all the dudes were one guy? Crazy. Gotcha. Like, it doesn't feel like
crazy. Gotcha.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like, I just feel like he has less and what less
if,
of like a,
take. What if we took this war premise, but we blow up the Lincoln Memorial? In America. Yeah.
What if it was in America? Wouldn't that be crazy? You know what? Two states have their political ideologies basically lined up? California and Texas.
Would that be crazy? They love, crazy, gotcha.
They're all about the same politics. Politically, California and Texas, they are homies.
Well, a lot of Californians have moved to Texas. I'm very curious to see how well... the election, as someone who is from Texas, and every election has been around people wishing that Texas would turn blue, and it hasn't. I'm very curious to see what this election will do. A lot of Californians moved. Texas is a different place, man. For better and for worse, in both ways. Every time I go down there.
It's not a blue state, dude. It's not happening.
I don't know.
Don't get your fucking hopes up. Do not start doing this to yourself. You will only be sad.
I remember Beto O'Rourke. There was a real chance. The midterms in 2017.
Just don't do this to yourself. Just don't do this
to yourself. It was close.
Please.
It was close.
Don't do this to yourself. My guy, please.
And in 2020, it's not gonna go well for you. Californians moved to Texas. I'm just saying. I got the Oscars right last year. Andrew Thomas, predictor, right here.
Just don't get your hopes up. As someone who also lives in a very conservative place, don't get your hopes up.
We've done it too many times.
We've done it too many times. We know you know all the people who want the state to be Democratic. I know all the people who want our province to be NDP. We are not the majority. we are not going to be the majority. It's not going to happen. I've given up. I've given up hope. I'm going to keep voting the way that I want to vote, but I'm just saying I'm not ever expecting us to win.
So that's so funny what you said, the ooh, gotcha. The ooh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Because even Ex Machina, the movie we were praising yesterday, is still ooh, gotcha. She ooh, is gotcha. Evil. Ooh, gotcha.
Ooh, gotcha.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What makes that different from, like, M. Night Shyamalan or Christopher Nolan, who also kind of subvert things and also do, in both their ways, all three of these filmmakers do the ooh, gotcha, crazy?
Well, M. Night Shyamalan just does a twist that doesn't feel like an ooh, gotcha. It just feels like a...
It just feels like that.
But it doesn't feel like that. It just feels like oh, what you thought was happening isn't happening. It's different. Meh. Idiot. You didn't know that there was something different was gonna happen? You fucking loser.
Alright, Christopher Nolan.
I don't know what's a ooh gotcha Chris Nolan bit.
Damon in Interstellar.
So one?
The top spinning at the end of Inception.
That's a interesting and good metaphor.
A real making Batman, but for real life.
That's not ooh gotcha. I don't think Chris Nolan is the ooh gotcha filmmaker.
What, like, I guess what I'm trying
to
get
at. Do you feel like Alex Garland and M. Night Shyamalan are in the same kind of world for you?
Christopher Nolan. I dropped Christopher Nolan's name, so it sounds legitimate. So, so M. Night Shyamalan, yeah, M. Night Shyamalan, Christopher Nolan.
That's not how that
sounds. Yeah, that is how it works. So you even texted me. What's the movie called?
Trap.
Trap.
Trap looks good. All right, Trap looks good. But we'll see. I don't have faith. I don't have faith that it's going to be good. It just looks good.
Looking good and being good are two different things.
Two different things. You know what else looked good? Knock at the Cabin. You know what else is bad? Knock at the Cabin.
I don't think about that movie often.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, motherfucker.
Dave Bautista is good.
Dave Bautista is so good in that movie. Dave Bautista is the only reason that movie is at all enjoyable.
Dave Bautista is really good in that movie.
That's an exaggeration. Dave Bautista is great in that movie, though.
I guess my point, what I'm getting at, is that I think there are, you know, every director has their tricks. Every director has their gimmicks.
Uh-huh.
What with Alex Garland makes it great? Again, listen to Ex Machina, our Ex Machina episode, if you want mm-hmm. to hear us just praising him. But also can be cringy and stupid, and in Civil War's case for you, dangerous. What is that thing? Is it a disregard of logic? A disregard of...
Partially, yeah. I think just the logic of, like, oh yeah, the Western forces of California and Texas, it feels like he's saying, okay, it feels like by presenting that as the main, like, secessionists and the main people who are attacking the regular United States, however you want to phrase it, whatever, he's saying, like, wouldn't it be crazy if, like, the world got to a place where California and Texas were aligned in this way? But then the movie, as you're watching it, never actually tells you why they're doing it. And that's fine. I don't need to know why. But it doesn't then tell you anything politically about what's happening. It's just like, there is a civil war. There is the United States, the Florida Alliance, and the Western forces. And that's it. There's no context given. There's no there. So it doesn't say anything politically. And so I don't. And I'm not saying that we need to know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. Like, it's a war. Everyone's kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm. It's really kind of just the war is hell. The classical old Apocalypse Now. War is just awful.
But there is no, because there is no political stance on, like, what these three factions stand for. There's no, like, he's invoking this modern political, like, fear that people had and have post January 6th. Like, that was a scary time. Like, that was a scary time.
It was very.
Right? We're living in a world where motherfuckers just rolled up on the fucking White House and just, like, got, like, just went insane. Like, we're living in a time where an American Civil War seems more and more likely. Right? Not saying that's going to break out tomorrow, but it's just like, it's clear that there is a very strong divide in America, and it has not been this far apart in decades. So invoking a modern civil war in America post January 6th, which is, like, so clearly where he got the idea of this movie from. And then to not say anything politically and to use footage from actual far right extremists. It just feels like, sorry.
Why does that happen sometimes?
Just did a thumbs up. I have no idea. That was so weird.
My arms were like this. It wasn't me.
No, it was me. It was me doing this.
Wait, does it?
I don't know how it works, but yeah.
All right.
Invoking all of this backdrop of politics and then not saying anything about it, I think is immoral. I think it is a bad thing to do.
One thing that I love in the movie, because one thing I like how it feels like an anthology. I've never read World War Z, but I always imagined it was like something like this, where it's this group of journalists go place to place and you see how each town is.
That is the conceit of that book, and it's a fucking great book. And it's a disappointment that I think World, if any book was ever going to be adapted really well, World War Z needs to be adapted into a miniseries.
Ooh.
Of a sect of journalists going to all these different places to find out these different stories.
Ooh.
That is a much more interesting way to tell that story than the fucking garbage movie that we got.
Than the Brad Pitt action man movie.
Fuck. Yeah. Fuck
Dave Fincher is still attached to do the sequel. We'll see. We'll see. But the moment where they're driving by the, like, Christmas in July land, and they're ducking, and the guy is like, so what side are you on? What's happening? And he's just like, listen, there's a guy in there. He's shooting at us. We're over here. We're shooting at him. That's it. there is this, I think, you know, we mentioned Succession once every episode. We have a deal with HBO.
Yeah.
One of the lines that really stick with me, I think about a lot, is life is not a knight in a knight on horseback. Life is a knife fight in the mud. And I think there's something in that move. This isn't about sides. For some people, it is. And for the people who want order in the world, it is. But to other people, the Jesse Plemons of these movies, the real scary, it is this fight for them, for just, I don't know. Does this make sense?
You're making sense. What I'm saying, yes, there is the moment with the snipers, and they say, we're trying to kill him, he's trying to kill us. Right?
Yeah.
An understandable scene, an understandable take. But the Jesse Plemons scene, part of the tension of that is when he says, what kind of American, right? Yeah. Like he's specifically saying that he is on a side, that he is on one of three sides, right? And we don't know which one.
We don't know what side he's on as an audience. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's explicitly saying there is a correct side that I am on, right? Mm-hmm. So the horror, the tension of that scene is, do they tell the truth or do they not? And they end up telling the truth, and it ends up generally working out for our main four people.
not for our Asian friends.
not so much for the Asian homies who die like it doesn't matter. But that, so there is like, so the movie is still invoking the, like, there is a side, there is a thing to be.
But for me, like, it feels like everyone has their side, but when you're on the other side of that gun, it doesn't, these guys are,
but uniform. It does matter. It does matter, else he would have shot Kirsten Dunst immediately. Because as soon as that Asian guy says he's from Hong Kong, he gets shot.
Yes.
Right? So Jesse Plemons is explicitly saying...
And he also shoots the other guy just because he's like, oh, your colleagues? This guy's your colleague? And he shoots him.
Yeah. Yeah. But but if Kirsten Dunst had said the wrong place that she's from, if she had said New York or whatever, mm-hmm. or California or Texas, if it was the wrong side, Jesse Plemons would have just shot her. Right? Like that is clear in that scene that if you say the wrong thing, you die.
Well, it also in that scene, he was gonna kill them regardless. It is how you assume
scene's
gonna play out.
Yeah, yeah. But he's Alice Garland is like using all of this like political backdrop to not say anything politically, and I think it's a really weird thing to do.
And for me,
like there's no political take, and I think. And I do think that this movie, in a sense, is going to be dangerous because I think a lot of, like, far-right extremists in America are going to use it as, like...
See?
Almost like propaganda and be like, we could do this. Like, we could storm the White House. We could kill the president. We could do this. You know? Mm. Like, look, it's right there. Like, we can see it. We can watch it. And I think that then not saying anything politically and just trying to be...
Well, then, do you feel that
way? It feels like he's trying to be, it feels like he's trying to be, like, above it all. Like, he's, like he's so much better than this. And it really, I think, is bad.
Do you feel that way about photojournalists and their job? And journalists of war? Like, you see these pictures in our real world life, some horrible atrocities. Someone's holding that camera.
No, because that's still that is an art that is inherently political. Like, it's showing the truth of what's happening, right? Like, it's, but this is a fictional thing where Alex Garland has chosen to not say anything and to just, like,
but it's about the ethics of the journalism. It's about, to me, that is what the,
but is anyone about. Is anyone arguing that journalists are, photojournalism is unethical?
People are arguing that journalism is unethical. People, fake news. It's.
Then this is even more of a nothing movie. If that's what you want to talk about, like, then this movie is saying even less.
Nothing about journalism or their role.
No, because it's not having a conversation about the ethics of journalism. It's just showing It's just doing journalism. That's what this movie is. It's just like a bunch of people doing journalism.
Its big climax is Kaylee Steine.
Spady.
Her question, if I die, will you shoot me? Will you take a picture of me? Kirsten Dunst, what do you think? And then, towards the end of the movie, it's that, not just is she going to take a picture of Kirsten Dunst dying, she's going to get up and walk away like it didn't even happen because she's on a mission to do her job. To get
but the this movie visually out. But the okay but the movie visually all the time whenever it's focused on Kirsten Dunst, if she's having like a flashback or a traumatic moment or something is happening internally with Kirsten Dunst, there is a bunch of chromatic aberration that's happening of like the colors of everything are getting split and you can see it like kind of around her or whatever she's looking at. This happens constantly throughout the film until that last sequence where it doesn't happen to Kirsten Dunst ever until she's about to go save Kaylee Spaney. And then it happens a little bit and then it looks at Kaylee Spaney and then Kaylee Spaney starts getting the chromatic aberration and Kirsten Dunst no longer has the chromatic aberration. That is a moment of not talking about that. I don't think that's talking about the ethics of it. It's never questioning whether what they're doing is right or wrong. That's a moment of like succession of like, who is the next person to, you know,
carry this
important to carry the torch of like, someone has to tell this. Someone has to be out there and tell this story. Someone has to make sure that people know what the fuck is happening.
I thought when right? I so was visually over there the movie, pictures, I was sending this home saying, let us not be this. Let us not do this.
Yeah.
And now we're here. What was it all for? How many guys did I have to see catch on fire with a tire around them? How many of those that I could have been like, hey, guys, don't do that.
I don't. The movie is never once questioning the ethics of it.
In the gas shop. And make a distraction and free those guys. But they don't. Because that's not their job. They're journalists. It's not Alex Garland's job to have ethics or teach ethics to his audience. He wants to tell this story.
Then why do you get mad at Jojo Rabbit for not saying that Nazis are evil? This is if you're not if you're okay ago. With if you're okay with Alex Garland not saying anything in this movie, if you're okay saying that Alex Garland not saying anything about ethics in this movie is good and you like it, why do you not like that Taika Waititi doesn't say anything about Nazis in Jojo Rabbit?
Because we need journalists. Journalism.
And we need to know, and we know that Nazis are bad. I'm saying we know Nazis are bad, so we don't need to show that Nazis are bad in a fucking movie about Nazis. We know they're bad.
Show,
and then this movie,
the Charming Sam Rockwell Nazi.
This movie has actual footage shot by actual Nazis who are thanked in the credits. And this movie says nothing about far right extremism or about anything politically. It doesn't have a fucking take at all.
It's hard for me because I didn't see the opening scenes, but I feel like it's the movie proving its own point that they need the footage from our real world life. This is Alex Garland. I don't even know if I agree with this.
How much footage from like the Black Lives Matter protests could you have gotten? How much footage could you have gotten from any other source that is not a far right extremist?
They probably didn't get paid. They probably did free use.
You can get this footage from anyone. You don't have to go to far right extremists. You don't have to do that. But he does. And then makes a movie where there is nothing politically said. And that is a bonkers thing to do.
I think it's different with Jojo Rabbit. Like I said, I think not having the bad Nazis, but showing Charming Sam Rockwell is different.
They're all Nazis! They're all bad!
But Sam Rockwell saved him in the end. Aww.
That's they're all bad! It doesn't says. Matter! Like, that's the point of that movie!
That's what the movie says.
They're all bad. They're all Nazis. That's what the movie is doing.
Oh.
Your uncle, who's a cop, can still be a nice guy, but he's still a fucking cop, dude. That's what Jojo Rabbit's saying.
I don't think that's what
you're making,
that movie
you're making me lose my mind.
But hey, maybe I should rewatch it. I have not seen it.
I think Jojo Rabbit is saying, yes, this guy is charming. He's still like understand. He's still a Nazi. That's why Taika is playing Hitler as like this effeminate dude, right? Like, he's still a Nazi. He's still Hitler. Like, we were talking about this last week when we were talking about people who had like, you were saying, oh yeah, everyone has a soul, they're just corrupt. We were arguing just, and you said, oh yeah, we could go on about this all day. You know, like, Hitler was a vegetarian, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Like, they're still horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's our real world life. Yeah, that's our real world life. That's different.
Yeah, you're making me lose my mind.
I love it. I see Sam's eyes just start twitching.
I'm losing my mind, Andrew. I don't know what's happening. Oh God. Alex Garland, have a fucking take, dude. I don't think people are. No one is like. Okay, there's the fake news bullshit that people talk about, whatever. That's not like the main issue here, man. And then you still don't even talk about that in the movie. Like, if that's what you wanted to talk about it. Like, but he doesn't say anything about it. Doesn't say anything about the ethics of it. He's just showing you what journalists do. And he's not saying anything. I don't think this movie says anything at all, like, throughout its entire runtime.
I want a quote. Don't let these men kill me. That'll do.
Bad ending. Bad way to end this movie.
A lot of people don't like the ending. I love the ending. I was like, that's it. Cut the lights. And it did. I was like, perfect. Perfect.
Uninteresting way to end that movie. The photo of the dead president with the soldiers at the start of the credits is an interesting way to end that movie. But the line, the quote what's his name? Wagner Mora gets is a bad way to end that movie. I don't think it doesn't, what does that fucking mean? What does it mean? Nothing. Say it again! Huh?
What?
Sorry, what is it? What does it mean? And then my brain went, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Just don't let me kill me. Not anything grand. He's a politician. He knows the job. Not any grand quote. Just don't let these men kill me. I don't know. This movie's on my wavelength. I could just.
I can't. It's not saying anything. You have to say something. If you're going to make a movie like this, about this specifically, fucking say something. Say anything. Even if I disagree with it. Even if I think it's a bad take. Even if I think it's politically incorrect. If it's morally reprehensible, at least you have a fucking thing to say. And it doesn't say anything. But it feels like Alex Garland is, like, trying to be, like, this smart, like, I'm going to make this movie and, like, you're going to figure it out. But I don't think he actually has anything to say. I don't think he says much in Annihilation. I don't think he has much to say in Men. And I don't think he says anything in this. But I think he has stuff to say in Ex Machina. But I think, but in retrospect, after seeing everything else, maybe he doesn't say that much in Ex Machina. Maybe we're just nostalgic for a good movie. Maybe we're just like, man, I wish movies were good again. Because this isn't it. Men isn't it. Annihilation ain't it.
You know what, Alex? You burnt.
This is, in my own system, his third strike. So I'm definitely done with Alex Garland.
I thought you liked Annihilation.
No, I don't. I don't like that movie. I think there's interesting stuff. There's some good stuff in there, but I don't like that movie.
I do think this movie is saying something. One thing that I've been telling
people. Can you tell me, I'm no jokes, no goofs, no bits. Can you please tell me what you think this movie is saying?
I don't think it's saying anything. Is that it's more like, it's like Whiplash. It is someone who has
a movie that says something.
It's someone who has a passion to do something, but doesn't quite know how to do it, is there with a mentor, and along a series of journeys, slowly learns how to do it. Now, the backdrop of it being a civil war, because you can make this same exact movie about any real life war that has happened. You can make this same exact movie. And if I will answer your question, I just want to ask you this. If it was about anything else, if this was about uprising in the Middle East, that how would you feel? Would you still not like the movie? Because you could still.
I would still not like the movie.
You would if still this feel like say, it doesn't say anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's, for me, it's the price of doing a job, of doing what you love, of doing something that you think you're good at. It is much more a movie about starting a career, and your career is just documenting the worst things possible.
Then don't set it in a modern American Civil War. Like, you're invoking so much modern political conversation to then not do anything about it. I think that is a bad thing to do. I think that is a immoral thing to do.
I don't know if
I'm not blaming. I'm not mad at you. I don't think you are immoral. I think Alex Garland has made an immoral film. And I think it is irresponsible to do so.
Dang. Tips and Tops should be fun. I like it's fucking, Civil War.
It's fucking the end of like April, Joker and you're like, too. And you're like, man, Tips and Tops. God damn, dude. Yeah, fuck. Joker 2 is coming out this year too. Fuck.
Did you watch the trailer?
Uh-huh.
What'd you think of the trailer?
This is a bad trailer.
Did you like his little smile at the end?
I was like, oh, okay. I've seen that shot before. And then I saw Twitter. And boy, oh boy. Oh, no. Did you see all this?
I did. Oh, I saw all of Twitter. One thing that warmed my heart. I know you hate it, but I saw someone do a smile. It was some kid. It was some 12-year-old punk on a Twitch stream, and he was like, oh, what is this? That's so cool. What is this, like a director's idea? And I was like, yes, kid, keep pulling the rope, keep pulling the yes.
Yeah,
a director's idea, sure, let's go with that, let's start there. Pretty soon you'll be talking about auteur theory. You got it, little bro. No, it has to be Joker 2, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw all those motherfuckers on Twitter being like the fucking, what was the thing? You are in the hands of fucking professionals.
Yes.
That thing was fucking insane. It was so ridiculous. For those who don't know, there was this viral tweet of that shot from the smile shot at the end of the Joker 2 trailer. And this dude was like, focus on Joaquin Phoenix. Pull focus to the glass. Lady Gaga draws a perfect smile. Joaquin Phoenix leans back perfectly. Pull focus back to Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix smiles perfectly. You are in the hands of fucking professionals. And it's like the most insane shit I've ever seen. I saw a bunch of people like quote tweeting it and doing it with like, I think you should leave sketches.
Oh, really?
It was really fucking funny. Yeah, it was like they did the Carl Havoc one and like camera switches to top shot of Carl Havoc. Camera switches to hidden camera shot of Carl Havoc. Carl Havoc says, there's too much fucking shit on me. You're in the hands of fucking professionals.
The internet's good sometimes. A lot of the time sometimes the internet's bad, but sometimes it's good.
Anyway, this movie doesn't say anything, and I think I like it less now.
Dang.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I always enjoy when people enjoy art, even if it's
stuff that
I don't like. Even if I don't like it, at least you're enjoying art. At least you're watching something interesting. At least it's not Ant-Man Quantumania.
Right. Did you watch the trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine?
No. I don't wanna.
Well, it exists.
I know, I was probably going to watch it after we finished recording, but I don't want to.
Because you're going to be like, okay, fine, I'll see it. And then you're going to be...
Well, because I saw, I think, a bit of it on Twitter this morning when I was very hungover in my bed for like 2 minutes. And I saw someone just be like, man, they're really just going to retcon the end of Logan, huh? And I went, no, they are.
It still could be a musical, but it's definitely not my thing. I was like, maybe he's just Hugh Jackman.
That would be the only good way to do that.
Maybe
that would be actually genuinely funny. They go into another universe and they're just like, Hugh Jackman, Wolverine? And he's like, what the fuck? There was a role I played. And then it's just Hugh Jackman for the rest of the movie? That would be hilarious.
Give him magic powers. He has the claws. He has everything. But he's just Hugh Jackman.
It's just Hugh Jackman.
What'd you do?
That's
to
a
me?
Very good bit. Yeah,
it really does.
They like pull Hugh Jackman into the comic book world, and then he's suddenly Wolverine. He's like, "What the fuck is happening?"
Deadpool takes hostage Hugh Jackman, and he forces him to be Wolverine. It writes itself. God,
that's actually very funny. That's actually probably better than whatever bullshit we're gonna. Watch in a couple months.
They don't give me millions of dollars.
Well, they should.
They should. And the best way how is to tell your friends.
Tell your friends. My name is Sam Vanagon.
Say again? Did you say your name?
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm Andrew Thomas. That's my name.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. You can find the podcast all over the place at Welcome Back Pod.
Because you don't want to be insensitive, right? Like, war is real.
You don't want to be insensitive.
Because war is real. War is real and is coming to everyone's doorstep real soon. I don't know. Oh, ptik, ptik, ptik. Because of camera.
You can find the links to all our stuff on our Linktree, which is still Linktree.com/WelcomeBackPod. Links to all the different podcatchers of your choice. Like the track, review the track. Like the podcast, review the podcast. All those different things all over the place. Helps out the whole heck of a lot. Helps out my holes. Don't worry about it. But as always, Andrew will tell you the absolute best way to support our little show.
Yeah, take hostage Hugh Jackman and force him to be Wolverine. Because that's what friends do. Clearly, that's what Ryan Reynolds
does. Do it in the middle of a performance of Music Man.
Yeah, do it right in the middle of Bay Wolverine! Here's the claws! Bay Wolverine! Just scream in the air once! I will show everyone in here! Awesome. Anywho, tell your friends. That's the best way to do it.